Hello and welcome to Bringing Education Home. I'm Herb.
And I'm Christina, and together we bring you ideas to help families become healthy, happy, and successful that are both inside
And outside the box. If you like the show, be sure to follow Christina on Facebook.
And please leave us a like, review, or comment on your favorite podcast platform.
Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Donovan Dreyer. On his first flight at 19, Donovan didn't lose his lunch, so he finalized his decision to become a pilot. After completing his aviation tech bachelor's degree and undergoing extensive flight training, a conversation with an airline captain in an informational interview convinced him to change his trajectory. And in an ironic twist, by choosing to plant his feet firmly on the ground, Donovan found that his impact could be far more uplifting, enabling others to truly soar to greater heights. For over 20 years, Donovan has been assisting families in navigating the turbulence as young adults transition from the nest to realizing their best lives. Since making his big shift, Donovan has coached hundreds of teens to find the right path in life, to discover their inner confidence, and to chart a course with a vision of their future. In a world fraught with stress, future uncertainties, and competitive pressures, Donovan uses his unique gift to help teens become calm, clear, and fall in love with their new life path. So that is a really, really interesting introduction that you wrote there. And it leads usually into Christina's first question of how did you really, what is the passion for this? And it says you wanted to be a pilot, but then you talked with the pilot and you decided not to become one. So let's go into right away into that little aspect right there.
And welcome to the show.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
How did that conversation turn you into a passion for helping young people?
Yeah, I think, sorry, go ahead. Yeah. I guess for me with young people, I didn't want them to run into the same situation. So, having done like a lot of school counseling over the years, and then finally doing some business coaching, I realized a lot of people want to have this passion and purpose thing figured out once they hit their 40s, hit that midlife crisis, and then maybe late life regret. There's a lot of people out there I see that just feel like they never really found their true passion, their true calling. And I remember like, wow, I couldn't not do that. So I had to do that soul searching at the age of 23. It actually took me 5 years to get the aviation degree and all those flight certificates. But I just couldn't do something that wasn't right for me. I just found like his excitement for flying, the airline captain I was speaking to, it just didn't match what I felt on the inside. And I was like, I bet I got something inside here for something else. And I am going to use my 20s to figure out what the heck that is. And so that's what took me some time to figure out. I had the luxury to fall back on a family business. So, getting some exposure to business there. And then ultimately, when the Columbine shooting happened, I was like, that's it. I need to put myself in the trenches, so to speak. Like that was not a thing. Like there was not frontliners, so to speak, until like the pandemic with this idea of being a nurse or being an educator. But, for me, it was like I had to figure out why that happened. And I didn't want like a book knowledge of it. I didn't want a magazine knowledge of it. I had just go in firsthand and figure out why on earth did we have this game changing event? And since then, that trajectory has stayed there. But ultimately, I think I did crack the code on why those kind of things happen. And then why, like also, there's a lot of issues with kids self-harming too. And so on the full other side of the spectrum is what I really believe we get in terms of following our passion. And I think one of the biggest solutions we have out there is helping this next generation do like I did and figure it out younger. And let's not wait till a midlife. Let's head off a midlife crisis. I had a really good conversation with a kid just last week, one of my clients, and he literally said that. I was like, no way. He just said, head off a midlife, like a midair collision, kind of like with an aviation metaphor. But he said, head off a midlife crisis by having somebody hold your feet to the fire now. And so I love holding kids' feet to the fire and really the fire of their passion so they can actually get it figured out and then go for it. I like to be the wind underneath their wings, truly, to actually help them go after it.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to make those kind of changes and to go after it in the late teens, early 20s. So yeah, so trying to change stuff later in life. So I hurt my head and my life trajectory got really messed up. And so I'm waiting to figure out what I want to do when I grow up now as well. Again, so I completely understand how
Which is so interesting because with me, that wasn't an issue. You know, my story is that being an 8-year-old, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I knew I wanted to be in the public classroom. I knew I wanted to be helping parents and teens or parents and children and everything. So I've never had that until later when I decided to leave the public education system, but I'm still in teaching with what we do now. So this is a really interesting conversation. The two of you knowing that, you know, something needs to be done a little bit earlier and me knowing the whole time through. So I'm going to let you guys talk about it a little bit more today because I'm from a totally different perspective, right? So maybe I'm talk a little bit about what's something that you do to help your clients, help your teens find that passion and find that desire and really, like you said, kind of keep their feet to the fire to explore it more. Give us a little bit of what you do with your clients.
Yeah, I also had the luxury of actually having 3 years at the elementary school level. So my own daughter was a fourth grader and a job opened up like half time instead of full time. So I stepped halfway away from the schools instead of quitting the day job completely. So that was really cool to now have this full perspective of like some people in the business realm helping them out. And then some people all the way at the elementary school level. So kind of seeing like where these little seeds are there at the beginnings. And then like, it seems to vanish during the teen years. And then suddenly at 45 or older, people start to say, hey, I want to figure that out. Other than Christina, you're the rare exception. Like not a lot of people have this thing figured out. There is a few kids, they say, you know, the same thing, third grade, eighth grade, 12th grade. And they actually go after the thing they said early on. But yeah, these things start really, really young. And I think you guys, you know, believe a lot in supporting the values and the character and that kind of thing. And so at the youngest of ages, we need to be kind of zeroing in on the things that we really want them to hold on to and then hold on through the teenage years, not just lose it, you know, for a few decades. And so I really saw that too, being able to go in and do character education like once a month as a school counselor at the elementary school level. And I just wonder, where does it get lost? What happens? Like, when does it happen? The answer is they peak out in the third grade. So about third grade, all of a sudden the conformity starts to kick in. Everybody's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. In kindergarten, first grade, second grade, hands up. Third grade, hands up. Fourth grade, it's like this. And then fifth grade, they're like, I'm not going to be caught doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to risk doing it. I'm not putting my hand up. Unless, you know, there's one or two kids. I got the answer. I've called on you 1,000 times, kid. No, somebody else raise their hand. So that's kind of what I noticed. And kind of like this, I know you guys start younger with the family piece. And so the value systems, those can be shaken up in the teen years. Just they're going through so many hormonal things, getting shaken up physically and chemically. And then the last piece is, it's this conformity. They go from like fearless in kindergarten, first, second, third grade to all of a sudden, I don't want, really want to be caught saying the wrong answer. So I just thought I'd lead with that. So I don't know if that sparks anything for the two of you.
It does actually, because second and third grade were my favorite years to teach. And the reason why was because they were still in that mode. They still wanted to participate. They still loved being in the classroom. They still wanted to do the activities and everything. And you didn't get the attitude that kind of starts developing when they start shutting down, right? So that totally makes sense to me that, yeah, keeping that love of learning, like we like to say, and keeping that spark of curiosity alive past third grade into those teen years, that's going to be super, super important.
Yeah. So our intro, we talk about the in the box, out the box. She's the in the box, I'm the out the box. And that was very much an in the box answer of school. And so my outside of the box answer is why does that happen? Mm-hmm. And so for me, what really happened in the public school is like, oh, you have to sit in these rows, you have to be quiet, you have to listen, you have to stop talking, you have to conform to this 8-hour schedule of sitting in this box, to this kind of particular education system. And if you step out of that, then you got trouble. You got sent to the principal's office. You were told to be quiet. You couldn't fidget. So, you know, part of why we started this was so that parents could actually maybe intercede before that, bring their kids home and allow their creativity and their self-individuality to develop instead of to being squashed down in the public school system. So, right. And especially kind of now with a lot of the weird stuff that's happening in public schools, it's like, if you do speak out, you're like squashed bad right now. So do you think that has anything to do with this third grade transition to not wanting to speak out anymore? Or do you go more into the hormones and that's just the way people develop?
No, it's definitely like the conformity piece. And I think that's, you know, we had our kids go through the public schools, and I think it's a mixed bag. Like you get so much that you've got to contend with. And I think there's two camps. Like there's one camp, like let's actually get them out of that and then help them actually develop the individuality and pull them out of the box and actually foster that. And then my camp was like, well, let's actually have them wrangle with all that stuff. So let's see how they contend with it. And if we need to lend them a helping hand, it's going to be the way the world is outside, because we have, you know, the whole adult population, basically, you know, as I saw a lot of people kind of get that moment of like, hey, I want to do something special and different. But I think the big challenge is society has those pressures. The pressures are there in the schools. If you graduate beyond the schools, the society has the pressures there. And so we really got to raise our game with contending with these forces, with these pressures that are there to, I think at any age, keep kind of packing us into packs and making us conform and do certain things. So I think the in my camp, it's like, let's get them working on that stuff as early as possible, you know, hold on to those values. If they get challenged and there's conversations to have and challenges to work through in elementary and middle school and high school, let's just duke it out and have those, you know, have those conversations, confront those tough things, and figure out a way to still, you know, not conform. Like we live in a town that's pretty conformist. We live in a world, I think, overall in a country that's pretty conformist. So I think we got to help, you know, help them focus on those things from the earliest ages all the way throughout life, especially now, because the forces are just getting stronger. So I think that's the key, is I think to a degree, we can actually help them fight it off. But it also helps to be in a nice, safe container as well to help foster and give the space and then be proactive about helping them grow. So I totally see where you two are coming from with it as well. So I think both camps are, they have their place. And I think you can get too much of one and not enough of the other and vice versa.
Yeah, so the common ingredient in both of those to be able to have successful kids would be parents who are active in their children's lives. Yeah. So the parents who just kind of sit back and don't show up, their kids aren't going to have any way to battle this conformity because they're just in it. And then their parents are kind of checked out in their own kind of conformity way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to be able to successfully navigate this with your children, you have to be involved.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree with that one.
So a lot of your clients who are, you know, teenage, early college, correct?
Yes.
Kind of age group, right? So, but again, do they come to you, or is it those active parents that come?
It's always the parents. Yeah, it's parents. Yeah. You know, I think I need to venture out more to like the homeschool population. They don't necessarily have that school counselor type that's helping with the future planning, career planning, and that kind of thing. So I think homeschool, you know, groups, schools as well, and then parents, I think, are the main avenues. Like they're the ones who are caring for the students and most invested in the students. And I don't have students just saying, you know what, I think I want to get some coaching. I think I'm going to go find myself a life coach. I haven't seen that yet. I do have one client that's 21, and he's been, since we did our initial contract, he's decided to re-up on his own. And his mom's like, you need to invest. You need to have skin in the game, buddy, if you're going to really make the most of it. And he's actually making that investment, but that wasn't the initial piece. I haven't had any young adults say, you know what, I think I'm going to initiate a little bit of investment in myself and my personal development. That would be amazing. I don't think that's happening just yet, but we're getting there. I think
getting there.
Yeah. And you know, hopefully by having these kinds of conversations, you know, having parents hear these kinds of conversations, so maybe they can start planting those seeds, maybe even a little bit earlier. It's like, you know, look what mom and dad are doing. We're investing in this coach to help us with A, B, or C. When you get to a certain point in your life, you might want to invest in a coach as well. If, you know, if we start planting those seeds to encourage our kids to reach out and get help, right? They're in the public school, Reach out to your counselor if you need that extra help. Reach out to your teacher if you need that extra help. If you're a homeschool parent, again, you're still encouraging your child. Maybe you need to talk about something and I'm not a good fit right now. Who do you trust? Who's in our trusted circle that you can reach out to and get that counseling or coaching or helping, right?
So model that behavior for your children.
Modeling the behavior, exactly.
Yeah, I love that trusted piece too, because like you said, it's like involve parents. Yeah. And then parents aren't just going to like, oh, let's just get a life coach and pluck from out of the air either. So, yeah. You know, you guys are talking about, you know, beforehand, something like background checks and whatnot. And that's a part of the church. You were a teacher. Yeah. I'm a, you know, school counselor. So we had to go through the fingerprinting, the background checks and all those things. But in the modern times, I mean, that trust comes from making connections like this, where somebody really feels like, okay, this person genuinely would care, is involved. Does have their, you know, their head on straight, and right. They have thought through their plans, and they thought through their structures, and they thought through the values and the importance of values, and they're going to work with a parent. You know, these things are really important. So these conversations are definitely, you know, they're with the parents first. They could be with maybe educators or homeschoolers first. And then from there, hopefully those seeds will plant for down the road, but I'm not counting on that just yet. I think it's almost always I'll speak with the adults in the kid's picture, the student's picture, and then that's the first place to build that trust. That's the place that we really, in the line of work that we do, it's so important to build that. So I completely agree that that's a huge factor.
So when you do start working with the children, with the young adults,
yeah.
Where do you start? How do you start the process with them? What are some of the first things that you do?
Yeah, well, I give the parents, I've made it like a ridiculously simple giveaway to help parents just ask a few questions. Because a lot of times, what do you want to do when you grow up? The answer is, I don't know. And a lot of times as parents, we ask questions that aren't very concrete and specific. And so I have just like six easy questions to get that conversation started as a download. But with the kids, you know, essentially it's having a conversation as well with the parents and the kids, kind of the same questions. I really have these super powerful, like first initial, I call it my chart your course session. So the very first thing is it might or might not be a fit. It's kind of like when you're going to college, the college might be looking for certain things. The student might be looking for certain things and you don't know if it's going to be a match. So my first thing I do with parents and kids, once I've established some trust with the parent and they want to have this chart your course session, is to get clear on what do you want to do for real? Like what's in this vision? Let's make it more of like, it's a fantasy world almost, but that's kind of what it is. Like you're the character, you're player number one in this picture. So painting the picture of what they want to do and what their biggest thing is that they want to start working on immediately. So I want them at least to get clarity on like, what can I go, you know, whether or not I work with this guy Donovan or not, what can I go work on immediately? So from the big vision, pull out something like that. Then what I'm also really good about is helping them identify, well, what is this individual's biggest hurdle or challenge. So I help them get clarity on that as a family. And then from there, you know, it may or may not be a fit based on like, are you committed to doing something? You might not be able to make the investment like my one student yet, but are you committed in terms of investing if it gets boring? Are you committed in terms of investing if you got some work to do, not in math, science, English, social studies, or foreign language, but it's going to be work on like, hey, you got some skills to develop that you're actually going to use as a professional when you grow up. So do you want to start working on those early? And so that's kind of what I'm testing out to see if there's some serious interest and see if it's a match too. And once that's the case, then we're going to lay out what's that first thing you can do. And then in my big picture, I'll lay out that map and we could talk a little bit about that too. But that's typically what I start off with is let's give a freebie away. And then I do have a mini course that I don't sell that often, but I really have people jump into a conversation with me if the parents are genuinely interested in getting real support for their son or daughter.
Well, I think another important thing is it's even in kind of in your bio is just because you start on a path doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you're going to end up doing.
No.
So for instance, you got in an airplane, you went, hey, this is kind of cool. You went and got a pilot's license. And then all the way up to the point where it's like, hey, you're interviewing for a job. And then you're interviewing for a job. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't quite right. So, you know, how many times can a student do that? How far should they get before they, if they like, wow, you know, this really isn't for me. When do they want to change? What is your advice around that? Is like, what is your, how long should they stick with it?
Well, after that first session, I kind of go back to vision as my very first, if somebody says yes to the coaching program that I do, the very first step is like your flight plan, so to speak. I call it teen takeoff as a joke on me. I named the program for that because like the flight metaphor is pretty good. So we got to get that first flight plan, then you take off and land somewhere. After that, you know, that's basically creating a plan or a vision. We can go back to the drawing board at any age. You know, so it's not like, oh, I got to get it right for the next 30 years. And what teenager can do that? Well, maybe some. Maybe you, Christina, got it right, apparently. So a small percentage can, but we don't even know what's going to exist 10 years from now, 20 years from now. There's no way we can absolutely get it right for sure if like a whole bunch of new things are going to exist in terms of career possibilities. But I figured out some four core things in terms of like, getting a good rough idea of what's going to fit a student. And then when they're going to do something different in the future, go ahead and do something different. Let's make a revision. If we made a vision in the first place at 16, 18, 20 years old, we can make a revision at 30, 40, 50. So at any old age, we can actually go back to that proverbial drawing board and draw up a new flight plan for the next, the next flight we're going to take in life.
Yeah. And by building the skills to do the flight plan, to understand how to go through that process, then you're giving them the groundwork to be able to make those shifts and to make those changes, to where right now, a lot of people like go to college and they pick a career path. And then it's like, well, I'm stuck on this until forever. So by being able to develop this ability to, hey, this is how you build the plan and this is how you shift it, then it gives you a lot more ability to make these shifts and changes and then know how to go about making it happen. So that's a very valuable thing that you're offering.
It's one of those things that combats the conformity we talked about. So a lot of people actually would get into my situation and be like, nah, this is not a fit. And then they do it anyway. They do it anyway. So for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, they do it anyway. And it's like, oh, how could they do that? I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself. And like flying's pretty cool. Like you said, that was pretty fun. And that was pretty amazing to be able to do. It did something for my confidence. And, but the one big thing from flying is like the go and no go decision, which is another one of the steps of my program is decision making. And you just like right now, I could go flying if I was current with my licenses. In a second, I can make the decision, this is a good day to fly because there's no clouds. But if it was like 3,000 feet, 2,500, 3,500, and you have to have at least 3,000, I'm like, no, I'm not messing around with that. It's just, it's not super clear. I'm a beginner or I haven't flown in 30 years. Nope, it's a no. So being like this with decision-making is not normal yet. And same thing, having this ability to pivot and make a change and know how to have the skills to make a change and make a revision. These are not common things yet, but that's the idea behind my mission.
Yeah. In business development, one of my mentors used to say, you need to fail fast. So don't take a long time to fail. When you realize it's not going to work, then make that decision and get out and start the next thing. So fail fast. Mm-hmm. And fail often and fail fast and get to where you need to be through that path.
But does that mean to throw out everything you've worked on when you fail, or do you take the pieces that are working and keep building something new?
I love that. I love both. You definitely fail fast, fail frequently, fail often, go from A pluses to Fs. Let's go. And then
not quite like that.
Quite like that. Yeah, you're failing your way forward, which is like that's a mind meld. But you're like, no, don't get bad grades. But the failing, like you said, is so important. And failing fast is so important. And even like 5 years is like so slow and agonizingly painful for me on the aviation. But it's so much faster than most people. I did that at 23. Most people are 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 something in some of these cases that they haven't figured it out yet. But no, we got transferable things. Like there's some core things within the personality assessment I do for another one of my steps that just gives a quick rough idea. But if something brand new exists in 2028 or 2038, that same core idea is going to work to say, you know what, you can transfer that personality assessment, that rough idea you got, in 5 minutes with Donovan, that's going to work for you in 2038 again, when this new career exists and you're not sure if it's a fit or not. You're going to be able to use a system like that to figure that out. And then, no, we don't want to lose the transferable skills. There's like nothing new under the sun in some cases where we can actually pull those skills, especially this adaptability, this flexibility, the pushback against conformity to be an individual and to be unique. These are like value system things, like let alone skills. So we want to retain and keep all these important values and skill sets and transferable skills that we can use no matter what we make as our revision in the future.
Right. And failing isn't like failing in school. So for instance, you put 5 years into becoming a pilot,
yes,
and you successfully did it. You were successful, but you also realized that that wasn't for you. So you put 5 years into something that you didn't do, but you learned a lot of skills. You learned how to do something. You learned that you could do something. But at the end of it is like, well, you didn't become a pilot. So in a way, that failure was there, but it was also good for you because so many people put 5 years into something and then it's like, oh, well, now I have to do it. And then they fail in a longer term in life because then they get stuck doing something they don't like. So they become their failure is in a different way instead of like, okay, let's find something that is actually going to make me happy, make me feel fulfilled.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, I was just going to say something that you were talking about is one of the pieces you use is like a personality test. And we've even talked about it with our families and stuff is that sometimes getting like a baseline personality test is for information, like you said, it's a baseline to kind of go from, and we try to make sure we say the same thing because a lot of people are like, well, don't put labels on us. Oh, well, I'm this or I'm that. It's like, no, the information isn't as a label box. Instead, it's a jumping off box. It's a where to go. You have this baseline information, and then you can build on weaknesses, or you can use your strengths when you need them, but at least you know kind of a baseline of where you're at. So I love that you use that as well, because when we use it with our families, the same thing is like, let's figure out how to communicate with each other in the family or with our kids based on their personality. Well, don't label them. It's like, no, it's not a label. It's a helping, is a stepping stone.
Absolutely.
Right, because personalities can be changed. It does take a lot of work. It does take a lot of time to be able to modify your personality on a consistent basis. But it also says, like, this is where I'm at. This is what my personality would have me be doing. And if I want to be doing something else, not only do I have to learn that, I also have to learn how to shift myself to be able to do that other thing that I want. So how do I change myself as well as getting the skills to do what I want to do instead of being stuck because this is the way I think I am into doing this. So yeah, you're the coaching, the skills training, all of that comes together quite nicely in that. And again, it's a little easier when you're younger.
Well, I think some of these things are there at the core too. Like my own daughters, I thought like, wow, you can kind of tell the difference at age 2 or 3. And it's not like my three daughters would switch places. Like they're not going to like in a movie, like the Hollywood movies where the mom switches with the daughter or whatever. It's like, there's some core things that are there. And I think within that, obviously we can do that personal development and even some of our interests or personality things could change. But I think a lot of times if we just get a good rough idea and maybe that is a label or is not a label, but it could put us in good position to do 90 or 100 or 200 different things that are going to fit pretty dang well, but we could settle for one of the other thousands of things that does not fit. And then, like you say, you know, 5 years could turn into 3 decades and that person's like, I'm not happy. And I'm 55 and like, oh, why am I not happy? Well, you just didn't fail fast enough. It took 30 extra years to figure out that was not working out for you. And it's, you know, that's harsh.
And then your midlife crisis that you were talking about earlier and having to learn and change and pick up things that you probably set behind 30 years ago. Now you have to learn how to learn again, all of that.
Yeah, which is okay. Like I don't mind people doing that because we have that neuroplasticity. But the reality is the thing that made me even focus harder on this specific area with teenagers is it's harder for the older dogs to learn the new tricks. And it's easier to establish the things that kids actually want in their visions and they want in their, you know, routines of a healthy, happy life and the things they want in their lifestyle. proactively, like, hey, we can actually plan that and actually design it and actually have that vision and then make it come to fruition with a lot more intentionality and just start way earlier. And I just really love what I see with kids. Like, they're fast learners, especially if we figure out what they're hungry for, and then they're going to go for it and develop themselves to actually go for the things that excite them.
So one of the questions I was thinking of, and this actually, because Donovan and I know each other and we follow each other on Facebook and all of that good stuff. But one of the questions you asked one time was about experiences. So when you're working with a client, with a teen, and they have like a limited set of experiences, they've like only done soccer their whole life and they haven't explored some of the other things. How does that kind of impact the exploration if they don't have a varied amount of experiences in their life? Does that impact what you do?
Yeah, I think I left an unopened an open-ended question today along those lines.
It wasn't today,
but yeah, it's a common theme. And it's like, well, I think today was about, like, you know, if kids are bored, then the alternative or the solution or the antidote is not fun. Sometimes it's like challenge. Sometimes it's like an experiment, and it's not going to go well. We're going to face plant on this one. I'm going to set you up for failure. I'm not going to give you an F in a class. But I had a kid, she was the valedictorian the year before the year my oldest daughter graduated, and then my middle daughter graduated a year later. And she was one of my clients, and I wasn't going to help her be the valedictorian or not. Like, that was a given. Like, that was already going to happen academically. Not a challenge. I didn't want to help her get F's either. So I didn't want to mess anything up there. And I wasn't going to help her academically. But the thing was, she was scared to stretch out, venture out, get courageous, and try stuff. And she needed to beef up her community service, because, you know, it was my daughter was really good to get like a big discount on college, the middle daughter. But this girl, she got a full ride, but it wasn't because she was valedictorian. Because, you know, you can get all A's. My middle daughter did that, and it was only half off. You don't get a full ride. She got the full ride because of her community service. She didn't get her community service full ride unless she did something with depth and that mattered and had some significance to it. Because when you can tell that story or share it, you know, verbally, or tell it on an essay, it's better than just having a smattering of things. But she tried three or four things that were like, nope, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. But then she landed on one that really was near and dear to her heart. Plus, she still wasn't doing it, but I paired her up with another student who had the similar interest, and that teammate thing really worked for her. And then she did that 3 years straight. That's the kind of thing that supplemented the good grades and the academics. And she ended up getting a full ride because she did something that really meant a lot to her. And at first it was like, you know, like it was a disaster. Like, she was not happy with any of the things she was doing. And it was either, you know, didn't feel very fulfilling. And so it was an F for, you know, a fail for not being fulfilling on the community service, or she just, it didn't feel like it was something that she wanted to keep doing. And when we create these nice resumes or experiences that we're actually going to use as transferable skills or abilities, you have to stick with it long enough to actually have an experience that's got some depth to it. So that's why they give full ride scholarships for things that have had greater depth. And this young lady just was not, it was no, no, no. She was running up against walls, trying to figure out something that was going to work and that she cared enough about to do longer. So sometimes the antidote is not having, let's have fun. Let's make it easy on you. Let's make it nice. Let's make it fluffy and comfy. Now, sometimes we got to set you up to experiment with something that might not work out. And we won't give you an F for it on your transcript, but right. In life coaching, you know, it's let's give you something that's a challenge that's going to be really good for you.
Yeah, because it's super important, because one thing we talk about with our families, you know, is that if they're going to either bring education home, which is what we call homeschooling, those children still need experiences. They still need to have lots of different things happening in their world so that they know what they like, what they don't like, what they're good at, what they're not good at. And so same thing with your teens and your clients. It's like, if they don't have the experiences to kind of build from, then it's going to be hard for them to maybe dig down deep and find out what their future plan is going to be.
Yeah, we also try and give them a love of learning so that they will start pulling it. So when, ooh, I'm interested in this, and then they can really dig into that. and get to a point it's like, okay, yeah, I really like this. I want to go deeper. It's like, oh, well, you know, let's let this go. I've learned enough that it's not quite for me. And so even at a younger age, they can really start figuring out how to follow their passion and pull the learning to them. And again, shift again, if it's not right, it's like, oh, I've got as far as I can go with this. What else can I do now? Ooh, I'm interested in that. And now let's go after that. So they can pull in multiple things until they do find what is going to really start sustaining them. And yeah. So that's kind of one of the things that we bring about in our education system as well.
Yeah, that beats the schools. I mean, a lot of times we're just forced to teach what we teach. And they're trying as hard as they can. Christina, I know you've probably had to do so much new things and so much new learning and so much professional development to change. But it's just not as easy as it is like, hey, this is a family unit and we're going to work and focus in on just the small number of kids, not 35 or let's say 300. It could be like several classes of 35, but just the small tight-knit unit where nobody's going to care as much as the parent does about bringing that education home. And then you got to like notice, does the kid care about it? Great. No, they don't. So pivot. Let's go find something else, maybe in that same subject area, but let's go pivot over here because you're bored. We're not going to force that on you to accomplish XYZ standard. You might still need that at home, but you can actually have that freedom and flexibility to number one, notice it because there's not 35 or 300 kids. Right. And then number two, to actually, well, thumbs up there.
That'll happen with me too.
No. For those of us who are just listening and not watching, we're playing with the little pop-ups from Zoom, right? So if you have a certain setting on, you could put a thumbs up and a thumbs up pops on your screen or a thumbs down pops up on your screen. So yeah, that's been happening with Donovan. It was so much fun watching it happen. I love it.
Yeah, maybe because it's like he keeps sticking his thumb experiment up and it's like, mine doesn't do that.
Oh my gosh, he has my Donovan's having fun
it's
with
not, it's not helpful on the listening podcast.
Right? But that's okay. Whenever they come over to the YouTube and find it, they'll see all the fireworks too.
None of us have ADD here. None of us.
None of us. Now we have confetti on the screen, Donovan. Awesome. Yay. So I think what you hear parents and the guardians, people who are listening to our podcast, is that experiences are essential from a young age. Give your child varied experiences long enough so you know that they really jive with it or not, they really get into it or not. You know, don't switch like every 2 weeks, but enough that they know that, yes, this is something I like and I want to explore more, or yes, this is something I like and maybe in the future I want to explore more, right? So that when our children, our teenagers get to the high school, the early college, they have an idea of what they want to do. And they can go into Donovan's program and say, okay, now let's take these experiences that I have and prepare my launch pad, prepare my future, because I have a way to do it, right?
Yeah. And if they haven't had it for a while and it stops working for them, don't force them to keep doing it. Let them step out of that. Let them find something else. Let them fail at that. And it's like, okay, that's not right for me. I put 3 or 4 years into it, but it's time for something new, because I know long term that's not gonna work. So, you know, as an involved parent, also be able to let things go. So don't keep your kids and stuff just because they have been doing it. Make sure that they still enjoy it and want to do it.
Exactly. So Donovan, as we're kind of wrapping up here a little bit, we definitely want to know where parents can find you to get some help, but also what's kind of is something that we haven't mentioned that you wanted to talk about, or kind of some last words for our families.
Yeah, I think we'll maybe talk about the last little piece of my program too. But definitely the chart your course idea, you know, helping kids along with parents. So it's like a Zoom call with parents and kids together. Parents usually kind of sitting there to, like, you know, we could talk about like if there's a fit about making the investment afterwards, but just there to kind of like be in this position of just a fly on the wall, a listening ear, an observer. And so I've messed it up where I've actually spoken to the parent too much and they kind of override some of the things that their son or daughter is sharing. But so the chart your course session is really powerful to help the kids figure out their vision of the future, get a little first step figured out, maybe a little map of the plan. And then to figure out what that biggest challenge is. I love kind of zeroing in to at least try and find what is this personal individual blind spot that maybe mom and dad don't even know is there. The student might not know is there. I love going for that one because I always want this to be a valuable thing, whether or not somebody works with me or not. Yeah. And then finally to kind of like look at that commitment level, are we a match or not? And, you know, that's definitely something I look at pretty seriously because I do want kids to be a success story and I want them to actually care about what they're investing in energy wise and effort wise and time wise. And then, you know, the parents money wise. So that's something I offer for sure. And I'm always on Facebook. Like that's the place that you could message me if you're a parent and say, hey, I got to you through Christina and Herb, and I would just love one of those chart your course sessions or, you know, start following on some of the things that I post. So that's where I'm most active. I'm active on all the other socials, but that's the place kind of where I live, so to speak, right, on social media. And then the website I have is getreadycoaching.com. So helping them get ready for takeoff from nest life to best life.
Excellent. I love that. And of course, all of that information will be down in our show notes, his bios, connections, all of that kind of stuff is there for you as well. So parents and families, people who've been are following on and listening, hopefully, again, you're picking up these nuggets that Donovan has dropped. He's given some really good hints and ideas of what you can do to help kind of get your team prepared and then how to figure out if a coaching session might be a great fit for you and your family. So make sure you're listening, following along, connecting with Donovan if this sounds a good fit for you. And don't forget that your involvement, parent involvement, is the biggest indicator of how your children will do. If you're supporting them making good decisions, not making decisions for them, but supporting them in making good decisions, then guess what? We have children who will grow up happy, healthy, and successful. So anything else as we're finishing up today? I think this has been a wonderful conversation.
I was going to share that last little bit on the last piece of the program. So the last step, and I didn't kind of go through it in total order, but one of the other things I do is like name, image, and likeness is really popular for kids that are building a presence because they're athletes or whatever on social media. And so both of my daughters, like we're always telling them like, don't do this or don't do that on the phone. So parents are amazing at looking out for all of the, you know, the issues that are out there and having kids watch out for it. But what's really important is helping them figure out what to post online. What I love to help kids do is actually make a good pre-impression, because we're not coming into an interview and meeting somebody anymore for the first time and making a first impression. We've got the ability to go look up people online, and we're always telling them, don't do this, they might see that. Don't do the other thing, they might see that. Don't do any of those things. So we really have to help them create this kind of marketing. I call it resume 2.0. And it's very powerful. So both of my oldest two daughters have done that, and it's been very helpful to them for what they're doing in life and what they're doing, you know, either as professionals or going into business themselves. And so we really do have to be aware of like, hey, they should be intentional and proactive with that too. So that's kind of like the culminating last piece of my program. But I really love that piece of it because I think everybody who's in business, we all know that we got to do the marketing and all those things. But the next generation, it doesn't even matter if they're doing business or not. They're going to have to take control of what's that image I'm projecting out there on social. And is it professional? Is it conveying the character, the values I really want it to convey, or not so much? And then is it lined up with the career opportunities they want to bring to themselves as professionals? So that was just the last little piece I'd love to share. And part of what I do.
Absolutely love that. Yeah. Because, you know, we tell, like you said, we tell the kids what not to do. Don't post this because it might not look good later. Yeah. Let's give them the positives. What do we want to post? So thank you. I love that part of the program. Absolutely. All right. One more time for that website. Where do they find you?
Yeah. It's getreadycoaching.com, and they can download those 6 questions I've got for helping like get past, like, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. All of us would answer that way if we get that fluffy question, like there's new stuff around the corner. Like, how do I know if I'm ready for that or not? And so there's ways to figure it out. So those 6 simple questions are pretty powerful to just have a nice conversation starter around the dinner table.
Love it. And that's the other thing, dinner table, spend that family time, always spend the family time. All right, yeah. Donovan Dreyer, you have been a delight. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your intellect and all the cool things that we can do with our teens to help make sure that they are ready to launch, that they are ready to be successful as they are leaving the nest and living life on their own. And audience, thank you for staying with us. Thank you for joining us today. And as always, make sure you are tuning in to our experts, asking questions, and being supportive of you and your family, and looking for help if you need it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much, Donovan, and thank you, audience. Bye for now.
Have a great day. Bye for now.
Thank you.